Well, joining me right now live in studio is the founder of the Detroit Puppet Company and the founder of a great film, a nonprofit film institute here in Detroit called Cinema Lamont. Carrie Morris joins us live. Hey, welcome to Culture Shift.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Josh Gardner as well on the phone. Hey, Josh.
Hi, Amanda. Thanks so much.
All right, so I'm talking to you guys because there is a great series that you guys have collaborated on, Cinema Lamont and the Detroit Puppet Company, about puppet films. There is a great history of puppetry in cinema. And beginning August 5th at the Detroit Puppet Company's amphitheater in Hamtramck, you guys have collaborated on this series of films. So, Josh, let's start off with you. Introduce us again to the work of Cinema Lamont and what's going to be happening on this puppet film series.
Sure. Cinema Lamont, we're a nonprofit that fosters cross-cultural understanding through the power of world cinema. And we've been showing films in and around Detroit since 2017, hundreds of films from all over the world. And we got to know Carrie and the work that they do over at the Detroit Puppet Company. I went to a puppet show with my daughter, and we kind of started talking about puppets on film, and we thought it was a really great idea. Obviously, a lot of us grew up watching puppets on TV. So we kind of wanted to take the idea of puppets on film and really show a huge diversity of the different kinds of puppetry, stop motion animation, shadow puppetry, and as well as live action puppetry, and kind of show the art form as it was, some historical pieces as well as some contemporary, really up to the minute things where you can see what's going on with puppetry today.
And truly is an art form. Carrie, I want to bring you in the conversation about the Detroit Puppet Company. I'd like to know how you got interested and invested in puppetry and the beginnings of the Detroit Puppet Company itself.
Yeah, I first got started in the field of puppetry when I was an undergraduate studying theater directing, and I started to study also how puppetry could contribute to kind of the large-scale theater compositions as you're doing a play, studying with a woman named Janie Geiser in New York. And then specifically the Detroit Puppet Company, I have been working in puppetry in the city of Detroit since about 2012. And the Detroit Puppet Company opened its doors to the public in 2015 with our space over on Carpenter Street. In the past 3 years, we have served about 25,000 people. Our mission is to create and present awe-inspiring puppetry for Detroit residents. And so we're super happy to partner with Josh and Cinema Lamont for this series. I think it's going to be fantastic.
I mean, you guys have some great films coming up in this series, and I definitely want to talk about them. But, Carrie, going back to a conversation we were just having before we went on air, when I asked you, so history of puppetry, roughly, and you're like, it's a lot. So object manipulation is the words that you use to describe something that humans began doing literally thousands of years ago, and that's then coming into puppetry.
Yeah. So if you wanted a very short, concise history of puppetry, you could literally, yes, thousands of years ago, it began. Object manipulation trends, did not start in the United States. This is a global, puppetry is a global art form. There are many, many different practitioners all over the world, specifically in the United States in the 20th century. Michigan, actually, in the early 20th century, was a really productive sort of hotbed for puppetry. And you can see a lot of puppet makers, the history of puppet makers, puppet practitioners, puppet designers through the collections that the DIA has in there. They have the Paul McFarlane collection, which they put on display. I think they rotate collections out every few months. The DIA is actually partnering with us for two of the series. We're doing six screenings in the series total. Four of them are evening screenings at our amphitheater. Two of them are family screenings for all ages at the Detroit Institute of the Arts Film Theater.
Okay, so I'd like to know who is, I guess, not just your mentor, but like what kind of puppeteer inspired you in your work?
Oh, well, early on, I had the opportunity to study with an Indonesian puppeteer and to live in Indonesia for a while as a practitioner, as a puppet maker, and to kind of see how the puppetry form is practiced there. And it was a really wonderful It was a really wonderful way for me to get experience that puppetry could not only be, you know, an audience coming to see a new play, but a lot of the Indonesian shadow puppet plays are these retellings of these epic works like the Ramayana, the Mahabharata. But the primary reasons that a lot of audiences go are not just to hear these works retold, but it's kind of like these old stories like Romeo and Juliet, but they want to see how that specific puppeteer is going to stage the work. And so the power of puppetry and the power of the puppetry's ability to relate to its very local audience was impressed upon me decades ago. And for what we do at Detroit Puppet Company, a lot of that kind of very local focus or hyper-local narrative resonance is something that is really important to us in the works that we stage, the works we develop, and also the collaborations that we kind of go to. So this thing with Cinema Lamont, you know, we're very excited to be able to partner for this series with someone local.
And question for both of you. Josh, I want to bring you back in the conversation. Again, we're talking to Detroit Puppet Company founder Carrie Morris, also founder of Cinema Lamont, Josh Gardner. There is a series that they are collaborating on, Puppet Films, that will be beginning August 5th. You can go to cinemalamont.com to check out the entire Puppet Film series. So, Carrie, it was really interesting. You mentioned these ancient myths. You mentioned Romeo and Juliet as well, you know, which is something people are used to seeing in, like, a live action, humans doing it on stage, at least. What kind of stories, I guess, when moving into that modality of puppetry, what kind of stories work best in that? And what kind of, in, like, a story like Romeo and Juliet, how do these stories change when then told through puppetry?
Oh, that's a great question. And you know what? I will point to actually the first screening in our series. So Friday, August 5th, we are screening a film called The Plastic Bag Store, which was created and produced, and the puppets were made and directed by an artist named Robin Frohart, who is a Creative Capital grantee. It is a film specifically about single-use plastics and how single-use plastics and kind of our reuse of plastics as a society could be reinterpreted hundreds of years down the line by future generations. And the idea of using not only puppet objects, like non-live, you know, objects to illustrate some of these points, but also large-scale sets and large-scale props that are specifically object-based props, reinforces some of the stories and some of the lessons that she's talking about in this film. And that film is a really specific one, too, that I wanted to kind of punch today, because this will be only, I think, the sixth time in the United States that that film has been screened.
Wow.
And so it's a really special opportunity. She's a wonderful, wonderful artist, and this film has a really relevant message.
And that is going to be screening Friday, August 5th at the Detroit Puppet Company's Amphitheater in Hamtramck, beginning around 8:45 or so when it gets dark out a little bit. Josh, I want to throw that question to you again. You've watched so many films in your career. What kind of stories work best and what changes when told through puppetry?
Oh, that's a great question, too. I think some of the things that we're looking at pointing to the second film in the series, Anomalisa, which was directed and written by Charlie Kaufman, who everyone probably knows as the screenwriter of Eternal Sunshine, of Spotless Mind, and Being John Malkovich. And I think he really took the medium of puppetry and he was able to expand kind of the mind-bending stories that he tells. So Anomalisa is about someone who's having kind of a crisis of self and trying to figure out who they are. And there's times in the movie where literally you see his puppet come apart. So I think it's kind of about using the medium and telling stories, which is a story obviously has been told many times, but using the medium to tell it in new and inventive and innovative ways.
Yeah, and I'll just piggyback on that, Josh. You know, there has been a little bit of writing and some interviews with Charlie Kaufman talking where he has talked about specifically the use of stop motion puppets to tell that story and how that's something that they wanted to tackle in this film that would contribute not only like the formal qualities of the subjects telling the narratives, but also how those formal qualities impact the narrative itself that was important to them.
When I'm watching something made in stop motion, it always blows my mind. But then I also just think about like every little movement that had to be changed and then filmed to make that happen. So we're talking about a movie like Anomalisa. Roughly how long would it take to do a full length feature film in stop motion stop motion?
Oh man, Josh, it takes a long time. I want to say years sometimes if you really want to get, you know, into the weeds, into the minutia about it. But I don't know how long their process specifically was. Dash, do you know that one?
I don't know on that specific project. But if you think about it, they're taking usually a still image and there's 24 frames per second a film. So for a feature-length film, that's going to take a long time because they're adjusting the puppets. There's multiple puppets with different functions. So they're really putting in a lot of hours to create these works.
That's absolutely incredible, yeah.
Yeah, one of the one of the other films that has a really specific kind of more historic puppet films is going to be one of the screenings on, let's see, it's Sunday, August 13th, The Adventures of Prince Ahmed by an artist called Lotte Reininger. She actually developed that film in 1926, and it was when it was premiered, it was kind of hailed as the first animated film. And she developed a technique for stop motion animation that was referred to as a multiplane, where she built several panes of glass as a way to increase the amount of depth that was displayed in each frame of the camera and each image. And that technique, the multiplane technique, was later adapted on and produced and utilized by Walt Disney in several of their films as well to give really specific increasing depth to the compositions, but also increased movement to some of the background elements. So, yeah, I like that one too. That's one of the screens happening at the DIA. It's for all ages, but I also really enjoy that we are pursuing films in this series that are not only very contemporary takes on puppetry, but also really kind of markers, earmarks of the history of puppetry as a medium.
And you said this film, The Adventures of Prince Ahmed, premiered in Germany in 1926.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about a few of the other films happening in this series. I know you guys will be wrapping up the series Saturday, August 27th at the DFT with a film called Tom Lee's The Great Zodiac Animal Race.
Yeah, Tom Lee is a puppet artist that we have worked with for the past several years on a few different projects. He's been to Detroit, and we've done a few puppet training intensives here in Detroit at our amphitheater. He is an artist, a Korean-Hawaiian artist, and this piece specifically was developed. It will be staged as a live stream of a shadow puppet show that he has done prior to COVID and then adapted during COVID to be a digital shadow puppet show as well. And so during the actual screening of the performance, there will also be a very small window that is, will have a live stream of Tom actually operating and manipulating the puppets while the show is going on. So the audience will see both the live show and then a very small kind of clip of, you know, the behind the scenes footage, which is kind of a cool element to it.
That is so cool. All right, Josh, what film are you most excited about in the series coming up?
I'm really excited about the puppet shorts. Carrie and I really collaborated. That's on August 26th to kind of work with, to include film artists and then also more people from the puppet community that Carrie's really familiar with. So it was a real collaboration. We have a short by the Quay brothers, who was a really big inspiration to Christopher Nolan, and he was instrumental in kind of helping get their work re-released on a Blu-ray a few years ago. And we also have a new restoration of a short called Puppet Show, which is actually about the Black Panthers in the 70s putting on a puppet show to help spread the word about their community activities.
I love that you mentioned the Quay brothers, because if you've never seen their work, you have to. It is absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, some of the stuff is really, really out there. So I think people really should come and see it on the big screen, and their amphitheater at the Detroit Public Company is really beautiful. So I think it's a great opportunity to get out and see some amazing art.
All right, thank you both so much. We've been talking to the founder of Cinema Lamont, Josh Gardner, and Carrie Morris, founder of the Detroit Puppet Company. For folks that want more information, I know you can go to cinemalamont.com. Carrie, what is the website for the Detroit Puppet Company?
Just detroitpuppetcompany.com.
Okay, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.